One day I was watching a little boy and his father. The little boy was having a great time. His father was standing near an embankment, and the little boy would climb up the bank and go over to where his father was, and his father would hold out his arms, and the little boy would jump, and his father would catch him. And he was having the time of his life. So he would run around, climb up the bank, come around to where his father was, and jump, and his father would catch him, and set him down, and he'd go run around. You know how that is, they just never run out of energy. It doesn't seem to get old, and he just kept jumping off, and his father would catch him. And then somebody called to his father and distracted his attention, and so the father turned and was talking to this other person, when all of a sudden, out of the corner of his eye, he saw something coming at him. And he turned quick and just in time to catch his son. So much confidence that the little boy had. All his only concern was just run around, get up there and jump. And he was confident that his father was going to be there and he would catch him and there wouldn't be any problem. And that's the kind of faith that boys and girls have. And it's a delightful thing to see the faith of children. And the outstanding characteristic of the Christian is faith. Before we come to know Christ, we don't know what faith is. Everything is by sight. But once we come to know the Savior, then the desire of our heart is to trust God and to walk by faith. And the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Now, we don't always know what God is doing, but we can act in faith, knowing that He accomplishes His purposes. And so this is what we find here then in Genesis chapter 48. We see an act of faith in Genesis 48. In this chapter, Jacob blesses the seed of Joseph. And as I read Genesis 48, I didn't see anything outstanding there, especially to draw my attention to something that we would call an act of faith. And yet, as I compared Scripture, I found that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21, this very chapter is referred to. And in Hebrews 11:21, as we have this list of the heroes of the faith and the things that they did that were acts of faith, the things they did that were outstanding examples of faith, we come to Jacob in verse 21 and we read, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. And I thought, why was this such an act of faith? You know, we could go through the life of Jacob and think of other things that perhaps were greater acts of faith. For example, when Uncle Laban was cheating him and he said to Uncle Laban, you know, you take all of the sheep and cattle, and my wages will just be the spotted ones. And then Uncle Laban would see that there were a lot of spotted ones being born, and he would say, let's change that. You take the plain ones. Okay, that's fine. And then a lot of plain ones were being born. And then said Uncle Laban said, no, he says, you take the streaked ones. Jacob said, fine. You know, I see a lot of faith there, but what was the faith here, as he blessed each of the sons of Joseph? And so as we read chapter 48 of Genesis, see if you can understand what is it that was such an act of faith in the life of Jacob here in this chapter. Genesis 48. Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. And then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Your offspring, whom you beget after them, shall be yours, and will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. But as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath. And I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Then Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said to his father, they are my sons, whom God has given me in this place. And he said, please bring them to me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near to him, and kissed them, and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact God has also shown me your offspring. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorite, with my sword and my bow. Father, we thank you tonight for your word and pray that you would, through this portion of Scripture, encourage our faith, enable us to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you see anything in this chapter that would indicate special faith? I see two things. Someone see one? What would show special faith? I think the first thing I see is in verses 1 through 7, where we see Joseph's double blessing. Now, Jacob reminds us here in verse 3 that all blessing comes from God. He says, then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me and blessed me. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. Blessing comes from God. And God blessed Jacob so that he was able here to pass the blessing onto his family. And I think this is important, that we need to remember that as fathers, we have a blessing that God has given to us that we need to pass on to our children. It's so easy as parents to become so busy and so involved and so forgetful of the blessings of God that we forget to pass the blessings on to our children. And we ignore that very important job that God has given us to do. As He blesses us, that we pass that blessing on then to them. So first, we need to get blessed. We need to go to God. We need to seek God. We need to discover His blessing. We need to enjoy His blessing. And then we need to share that blessing with our children, because all blessing comes from God. And then secondly, Jacob says here to Joseph that all blessing is based on the promises of God. He said, God made promises to me and said, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you. And so all blessing is based on the promises of God. And by blessing his sons here, by blessing Joseph, Jacob here is recognizing that blessing comes from God and is based on the promises of God. And that's why our hope is a living hope, because it's based on the promises of God. We talk about the blessed hope. You know, the blessed hope isn't a hope. The blessed hope isn't a hope so. The blessed hope is based on the promise of God. It's a blessed no so. And we praise God that His promises are sure. And then Jacob says here to Joseph that all blessing fulfills the purposes of God. And in blessing Joseph, we see here that Jacob does not bless Joseph himself. He blesses Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And in doing this, he gave Joseph a double portion. Now, we know that the double portion belonged to the firstborn. It was the inheritance of the firstborn of the family. And Jacob said very clearly, Joseph, your offspring, Ephraim and Manasseh, are going to be to me like Reuben and Simeon. Now, you know who Reuben and Simeon were. Reuben and Simeon were Jacob's firstborn by means of Leah. And Jacob here says, Ephraim and Manasseh are going to be to me like Reuben and Simeon. And so Joseph here was receiving the promises of the firstborn, the blessing of the firstborn. Now this occurred because of Reuben's sin. You remember in our previous study that Reuben had sinned and he had defiled Rachel's maid, Bilhah. And because of that, Reuben could no longer have the privilege of having the blessing of the firstborn, the double inheritance. And the purpose of that double inheritance was to take care then of the parents. The firstborn received a double inheritance so that they could take care of the parents in their old age. And Reuben lost that blessing because of his sin. And so this grievous, immoral rebellion of Reuben caused him to lose the blessing of the firstborn. And Jacob here then gives it to Rachel's firstborn, who was Joseph. Now, we had indications of this before. You remember that Jacob had made a special coat for Joseph? A special coat with long sleeves that was an indication that this was the heir. And that's what made the brothers so angry before. And so Jacob here now was giving to Joseph that which he had indicated years before by the special garment that he had given to him. And he fulfilled the promise to Joseph, not out of favoritism, but out of the fact that he was the legal heir. He was the firstborn of Rachel, because the firstborn of Leah had lost the privilege of being firstborn because of his sin. And here he is bestowing then the rights of firstborn upon the sons of Joseph, giving them the right of inheritance as the firstborn. Interestingly enough, the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, were now like princes in the land of Egypt. And Joseph was next to Pharaoh. Joseph was almost king of the land. And so his sons would have had a very important place in the nation, the sons of the man who was in charge of the entire country. And yet, here, by the blessing of Jacob, those who were princes by way of natural leadership were made to be pilgrims and strangers in a land that they still were not living in. You say, well, what kind of a blessing is that? Looks like a demotion rather than a promotion. But the blessing of God came with this blessing that Isaac placed upon these sons. And so they became heirs of Canaan and of the promises of God to Abraham. And so the first area of faith was that Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, in giving them a double portion in that way. And we're going to see in a minute just what the significance of that was. But first of all, I wanted to share with you the second area in which Jacob demonstrated faith in this chapter. And the second area is found in the last half of the chapter, verses 8 through 22, where we see that he not only blesses Joseph through his sons, but he blesses Ephraim over Manasseh. Now, Manasseh was the firstborn. Now, the content of the blessing was the same. We read in verse 15, he blessed Joseph and said. And so the content of the blessing was the same for both of the sons of Joseph. It was the blessing of the shepherd. He says, the God who has fed me all my life. Actually, the word there is shepherded. The God who has shepherded me all my life, and includes much more than just the idea of feeding. The idea is of leading and guiding and directing and caring for. The God who has shepherded me all of my life. The angel who has redeemed me. And so here we see these promises are of God being the shepherd and being the Redeemer. These are indeed promises of the Messiah that are given here to these boys. But then notice how Jacob demonstrated a reversal of the favor in that he twisted his hands. He crossed his arms and he put his right hand on the head of Ephraim and his left hand on the head of Manasseh. And this disturbed Joseph, and he said, Father, no, you've got this mixed up. And Jacob said, no, God will also bless Manasseh, but the first blessing will be upon Ephraim. And we read here that he did this intentionally, crossing his arms and placing his hands just the opposite of what Joseph had expected. And we read here then that this became a form of blessing. And we see in verse 20, so he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. Now we see here a biblical principle that God is sovereign, and he is not obligated to give his blessing according to natural order, or according to the order in which we think. And God here bypassed the firstborn. Now, as we look back through Scripture, we see God doing this many times. For example, Cain and Abel. Cain was the firstborn. Who got the blessing? Abel, and then the replacement of Abel was Seth. We see in Scripture that Shem was blessed instead of Japheth. That Abraham was blessed instead of Haran. That Isaac was blessed instead of Ishmael. That Jacob was blessed instead of Esau. And here we see Ephraim blessed over and above Manasseh. God's principle here demonstrated in the blessing that Jacob gave to Joseph and to his sons. Now, these are the two things then that Jacob did. First of all, he blessed Joseph, and second of all, he blessed Ephraim above Manasseh. And these two things are the ways in which he demonstrated faith. How did he do that? Well, first of all, we see here that Jacob blessed Joseph because Reuben had become the destroyer of the family and had brought wickedness into the family. And so Reuben was replaced by Joseph, who became then the savior of the family. And indeed, as the family came down to Egypt, Joseph was the savior of the whole world, but especially the savior of his family. And so this was a picture that Jacob was giving as he blessed Joseph, that just as Adam was the firstborn, but through sin, he was replaced by the second Adam. And the blessing then comes upon the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the family, the Savior of those who were destroyed by the sin of the first Adam. And so the second Adam is the Savior of those who are of faith. All who are in Adam die, but all who are in Christ live, because he's the firstborn from the dead. And so you see then how the second Adam replaces the first Adam who sinned. Just as Joseph replaced Reuben because of his sin. And so as Jacob gave to Joseph the double blessing of the firstborn, he is picturing here the blessing of God the Father upon God the Son as the second Adam, the Redeemer and Savior of those who are of faith. You see then how Jacob was demonstrating faith in God's eternal plan? You know, sometimes we don't realize how much these saints of the Old Testament really understood. I think they understood a lot more than we give them credit for. And here Jacob demonstrated faith in the coming Messiah, even as he blessed the sons of Joseph. And then the second way in which he demonstrated faith was by blessing Ephraim over Manasseh. And by doing that, he proclaimed, first of all, that the seed of Christ would have two seeds. You notice he blessed Joseph, but in blessing Joseph, he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh. And the seed of the Savior has two divisions. There is the Old Testament church of the Jews and the New Testament church of the Gentiles. Notice that they are two divisions, and yet they are one family. They are still the seed of Joseph. And so also the Old Testament saints, although under a different dispensation of God's workings, are a part of the seed of the Savior, just as the New Testament saints are a part of the seed of the Savior. And the Jews were first, weren't they? And then followed the Gentiles. But where's the greatest blessing? The greatest blessing is on the Gentiles. And he has blessed the Gentile church far above and beyond all the blessing that had ever been upon the Jews and the Old Testament church. And so there was a picture here then of what God is doing down through the ages, that the seed of Joseph, the one who displaced the sinner, has a twofold seed, and the second born is greater than the firstborn in his program. And so the New Testament church has enjoyed a worldwide blessing far beyond that of the Old Testament church, even though we have the same gospel. We have the same gospel that God preached to Abraham. And so the blessing upon them was the same, and yet one is blessed more than the other. And the second thing we see here in the blessing of Jacob upon Ephraim and Manasseh is that God's ways are not our ways. Now, we have some statements in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus made that Jacob was following as he blessed Ephraim above Manasseh. You know what the Lord Jesus said? Remember that the workers were paid as they came back from the field, and those that heard the parable were all upset. You know, how come some were paid before? Those that went in last were paid first. And Jesus said, the last shall be first. And we see this pattern all through Scripture. The last shall be first. The secondborn is chosen over the firstborn. The last shall be first. And so it's so important that we not trust in any right that we think we have to position or place or honor. That's why Paul tells us, as believers, as members of the body of Christ, members of a local church, he said, in honor, preferring one another, not seeking first place. Demetrius who loved to have the preeminence among the brethren. He wanted the first place. And God says, don't seek the first place. The first shall be last. Have you ever hurried to try and get in line? I know, especially sometimes at the bank, you see a great... They're doing it differently now. But it used to be you'd have to kind of look at all the tellers and decide which one was going to get done first and who had the least people behind them. It seemed like I would aim for the one looked like it was going to get through first, or maybe it's at the supermarket. You have all these aisles of the supermarket and you say, this one has a big basket and this one has a small basket. I'll go to this one. This one will get done first. And somehow or other, the scriptural pattern follows out the first will be last, and you see the other just going through, and this one has a problem with their check or something like that, and just wait and wait. And God says, don't seek the first place. He says, my principle is the first shall be last. And so that's why as brethren in a church, we should be very encouraged to say, brother, no, you go first, brother, you go first. Why? Well, the first will be last. Get to the end of the line because they're going to start from the back. God says, get to the end of the line. Don't put yourself first. Get to the end of the line because that's where I'm going to start. And so we ought to give the preeminence to others because the biblical principle is the first shall be last. And we ought to try to be last because that's where God starts. God says, those are the ones that are first. God chooses the weak to confound the mighty. Sometimes we like to give the impression that we're so strong. And God says, no, I don't bless the strong. I bless the weak. When you start getting weak, then I'm going to bless you. But as long as you think you're so strong, I can't really do much. God chooses the weak to confound the mighty, and so we don't trust in our strengths or our abilities. Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. So really, we need to fear our strengths because those are the very areas where God has problems blessing us. And notice how to Joseph here this seemed so wrong. And that's the way it is with us, isn't it? It seems like God's ways are backwards, aren't they? Well, God's ways aren't backwards. It's just that our ways are backwards. And God warns us, your ways are not my ways. My ways are not your ways. And so Joseph thought what his father was doing was wrong. But Jacob said, no, I know what I'm doing. Because Jacob here was operating by faith. And the biblical principle is, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The weak shall be blessed, and the strong shall be left. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so may God enable us to have childlike faith, trusting him only as we exercise faith, as Jacob here. will we be able to be a blessing to others. Jacob here was able to bless Joseph and the sons of Joseph because he operated by faith. And that's why Hebrew says, by faith, Jacob blessed the two sons of Joseph. Father, we thank you for the marvel of your ways. And we confess that to our own natural hearts and minds, your ways are so different. And we confess that they're not the ways that we first think of. And that we first think of the opposite of these ways. But we praise you that your ways are ways of blessing. And so we pray that you would enable us to live by faith. To walk by faith. To be able to be a blessing to others because we are being motivated by faith and not by sight. And in that way, be enabled to picture the ways in which you work and the ways in which you bring blessing into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.